I want to tell this story, and I've told this in a number of parishes, but it's a very interesting story, and I've heard stories like this before, but every fall, for the last 4 years, I suppose, have been going to the Catholic Medical Association meeting, and the talks are very good. They're all, a lot of them are scientific. You get continuing medical education credits, but also there's a spiritual component as well. And they have exposition, they have daily mass. It's a wonderful conference. And last fall, there was a lung doctor, a pulmonologist, who told a story about a patient of his that was in the ICU, intensive care unit. So by definition, this patient would have been attached to the cardiac monitor. So I'm sure all of us have been, not as patients in the ICU, maybe some of us has, but I'm sure all visited people in the ICU, and you look up and there's the heartbeat. So this guy's heart stopped. And because he was on the heart monitor, an alarm goes off at the nursing desk, and it's code red. And so the code team was in within minutes, less than a minute, the code team's in. So they start doing CPR and delivering oxygen, pumping drugs into the IV, I'm sure epinephrine and so forth, and nothing. Keep going, nothing. And so it was during that time that this man later said that he met Jesus Christ in judgment. In Hebrews, it says that there's two judgments. There's our own particular individual judgment. And it says when we die, immediately we're individually judged. And then a soul after that goes to heaven, purgatory, or hell. And then the general judgment at the end of time is, Jesus talked about that in Matthew 25:31-46, when all the souls from heaven, purgatory, hell, come to earth to get their bodies for the resurrection of the dead. And then everyone will either go to heaven or hell for all eternity. And that's a general judgment, but we're individually judged immediately after we die. So this guy's heart stopped, and they're doing CPR, and nothing's happening. And this patient later said he met Jesus in judgment, who said, in your life, I gave you so much. I gave you so many gifts. You just used them for yourself. You're damned. This guy thought, I lost my soul. And I bet this guy said the rosary. Do you say the rosary every day? I've heard Catholics, well, I don't say the rosary. Now, of course, do you have to say the rosary to be saved? Is that part of scripture and sacred tradition, public revelation? No. But the rosary was given to St. Bernard, and it was St. Dominic, and it's very powerful prayer. It's a scriptural prayer. The mysteries are from the scriptures. The prayers themselves are from the scripture. And the second part of the Hail Mary is, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. Boy, this crowd's dead. I like the Anima Christi. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, renew me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Separated from you, let me name from the evil one. Protect me. At the hour of my death, call me. But the second part of the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. I want Mary, my mother. She's our spiritual mother. If she's the mother of the head of the church, she's the mother of the members of the church. I only delivered two babies, but I've seen a lot of babies born. Never have I seen a head come out by itself. Well, Mr. Smith, you're the proud father of a 2-pound, 4-ounce baby head. Where's the body? Well, no body. It's just a head. Be careful, you know, when you put it down, it might roll off onto the floor. It's just a head. Every head has a body attached to it. And if Mary's the mother of the head of the church, she's the mother of the members of the church. She's our spiritual mother. And so there she was in judgment. And this guy's thinking, help me, oh my gosh. And Mary looks at Jesus and says, son, son, Jesus Christ is true God and true man. He has a mother. Now I know if my mom, who's going to soon turn 89, I try to see her every Thursday. She's not the perfect health. I lost my dad a little over a year ago, and I know the pain of losing my mother is going to be different than losing my father. Because my mother's not my father. My father was not my mother, but my mom. And I have to tell you something. If she asks me to do something, I'm going to do it. Except when she said, when I found a dead rabbit in the backyard, she says, oh, don't touch it, don't get, put it in the trash can, have somebody else do it. Well, I did it. But you know what I mean. If my mom asks me to do something, I am going to do it. And there's so many people that are so dismissive of Mary. We're going to get to Mary. Oh, yes, how could I have a conference without talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary? But there she was, and she said, son, son, would you give him another chance? He'll do better this time. And this guy said, Jesus, slowly, and they're doing the CPR and nothing. They go, well, we better pack it in. Oh, let's go another 30 seconds. Come on now. Doctors don't like to give up. Neither do nurses. But there comes a point. And Jesus slowly turned his head towards Mary and said, Mother, for you, I will give him another chance. We have a heartbeat. We have a heartbeat. And the doctors are thinking, you know, they're patting themselves on the back and, you know, look at it. Right. Now all this guy does is he goes around the world, the country, talking about divine mercy. It's what we're talking about, divine mercy. But before we can receive mercy, what do we first have to do? We have to ask for it. We have to repent. That was a message of Jesus, the message of John the Baptist, the precursor of Jesus. Repent and believe in the gospel. So there's a lot of people that just assume, well, at the end of my life, I'm just going to soiree into heaven. We have to repent. And so he talks about that. Now, yesterday I mentioned that one cannot talk about the mercy of God without talking about God the Holy Spirit. Those rays, what do you think that is? I have to ask you this personal question. Oh, yes, I'm going to ask personal. I mean, what am I going to ask you about the Huskers? I'm not going to talk about the Huskers. I'll talk about personal things. I want to ask you a personal question. Do you talk to your Father, God the Father, not only every day but frequently? Do you talk to God the Father? Good. Because I think a lot of Christians, a lot of Catholics probably don't. It's all about Jesus. Oh, I'm going to get to Jesus, all right. It's all about the Father. The disciples who were hanging around, and this is the night of the arrest of Jesus. It's in John 17. Jesus starts talking about his Father. And we're talking about disciples who hang around Jesus for 3 years. And he starts talking about the Father, and Philip said, oh, just show us the Father. We'll be satisfied. Jesus looks at Philip and says, Philip, how long have I been with you, and you don't know me? If you know me, you know the Father. If you see me, you see the Father.
I don't get it.
The longer I'm in the priesthood, and the older I get, the more and more I look at Jesus, what do I see? I see God the Father. When I look at the cross, I see the Father. Now explain that one. Well, when we talk to our Father, the disciples, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Could you teach us how to pray? I mean, that passage always got me. They're hanging around with Jesus Christ, for heaven's sakes, and they have to ask how to pray? What did Jesus say? The first two words out of his mouth were, "Our Father." So I beg you, implore you, talk to your Father often. So when he speaks to you, when God the Father speaks to you, the words that he uses, the words that he speaks to you, that's the Son. He's the words that the Father speaks to us. He's the word of the Father, right? The word made flesh. Whose word? Not Frank McSmirschmack's word. The Father's word. So when we look at the crucifix, that's the Father speaking to us. He's the word of the Father. That is God the Father speaking to us. He's the word of the Father. And that's the one that took on flesh and became a baby, grew up into a man and died on the cross, the Father's word. When you read the scriptures, when you hear it proclaimed at Mass in the gospel, that's the Father speaking to you because that's the Son who's the word of the Father. When Jesus would pray all night, who was he talking to? His Father. And so when Jesus is speaking, it's the Father speaking. Now, Jesus has a human nature, and he can speak to us as a man. But it's the Father, the sacrifice of the Mass. That's why Mass for so many years was ad orientem. And then and we Catholics, we even in the Novus Ordo Mass, we can offer it ad orientem. And the whole idea between that is everything goes to the Father. And so a priest facing the people is just something that was added on. Vatican II never said, take the communion rails out, face the people. It didn't say, get rid of Latin. I mean, I love Mass in English. I don't speak Latin. I need to learn more Latin. But Latin is the official language of the church. I mean, it is. So you can go to China and have Mass, and if the Mass is in Latin, I mean, but it's nice to have, because most people, you go to Mexico, most they speak Spanish. And so the Vatican II, I didn't even plan on getting into all this, but the church just said you can offer Mass in the vernacular language. Because why was Mass in Latin in the West in Latin? Because that's what people talked and spoke, and that was the early language. That's why it was in Latin. And there's places in the church where Mass was never said in Latin because people never talked Latin and Aramaic, and the poor Iraqi Christians, Catholics, Chaldean Catholics, and the Mass is still in the language that Christ spoke. It's never been in Latin. It was Aramaic or ancient Hebrew, and then in the East, Greek, places where Greek Catholics and Mass never. But anyway, there's these rites in the East, and then there's one rite in the West. It's Latin. But anyway, everything goes to the Father. And so when he speaks to you, that's the Son. And then the love that they give us from the Father through the Son, that's the Holy Spirit. So how could there be mercy without love? How could there be mercy without the Holy Spirit? Recently, Father Jacques Philippe came to Lincoln. He's a member of the Community of the Beatitudes. It was founded in France in 1973. And he gave a nice talk to us priests at the St. Gregory the Great Seminary. And he wrote a book called Fire and Light. Fire and Light, How to Receive the Gifts of the Holy Spirit, Learning to Receive the Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he mentions 9 things, characteristics, that if we have these characteristics in our life and we practice these things, It will ensure that we'll be open and able to receive the Holy Spirit, which is the love and mercy of God, right? That's the sacraments worked by the Holy Spirit. And so there's these nine things. So I want to talk about these nine things to be able to receive the Holy Spirit. That was the problem of that guy who died. His heart stopped. He wasn't open to receiving mercy. He wasn't open to be able to repent so he could receive the Holy Spirit and the mercy and love of God. Remember what St. Peter said in the Acts of the Apostles that I mentioned, chapter 5, verse 32. He was very clear. He said, God the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey. So during our next talk, I am going to delve into these characteristics. And I'm going to change up the order. He lists them in a certain order, but I'm going to change them up into the order, I think, from the most important characteristic and to in descending order. But the ninth one is devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, that's very, very important. But the first one, that I think is most important, he doesn't talk about first, and I'll explain why I'm talking about that one next. But we will dive into those nine essential characteristics needed to be open and to receive the Holy Spirit, unlike that guy whose heart stopped. And he really came through, didn't he? And his whole life has changed now that he left the ICU. So if your heart is open, the Holy Spirit will do marvelous things in your soul. But just reflect and always remember that all the gifts you get this weekend, they're from your Father, God the Father, our Father who art in heaven. But when we're in the state of sanctifying grace, God the Father is within our souls. So we don't have to go to heaven to talk to our Father. We can talk to our Father who is in our souls, who received him first at baptism along with the Son and the Holy Spirit. But it will be his work in our souls through his Son as he talks to us, the Word made flesh, in the love that he sends us, the Holy Spirit, love, mercy of God. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us.